Welcome to the last week of our series we're calling Overflow God. We've been looking at how to change our thinking from a scarcity mentality, you know, there's not enough in the world, everything's in short supply, to an abundance mindset. God has provided more than enough, and we humans just need to figure out how to share it generously and fairly. And before I go on with this homily, I just wanted to take a moment to thank one of our staff members, Lisa Rosalind, for actually coming up with this whole idea for this series, Overflow God. It's loosely based on a book by a man named Michael Easter called Scarcity Brain. And he kind of goes into a lot of the science about why we tend to cling to this scarcity mindset and think that there's not enough in the world and stuff like that. So I just wanted to thank her and also ask you to keep her in her prayers, because Lisa took a pretty nasty fall the other day and was hospitalized for a couple of days and is going to be home on bed rest for like 6 weeks. So please keep her in her prayer, but I also wanted to thank her for this. Today I want to talk with you about staying focused on God's abundance. There are so many activities, assignments, and responsibilities that require focus. Athletes have to keep their eye on the ball to win the game. Students need to concentrate on their studies to earn good grades. When you get a big project at work, the boss gives you a big project to do, you need to plan and prioritize and stay motivated to get the job done. Surgeons and pilots have to be attentive every second to keep their patients and passengers safe. When you lose focus, even for a short time, the consequences can be quite unpleasant. One of our new staff members, Dawn, was talking with a parishioner one Sunday after Mass by her car, and she put her iPhone on the roof of her car while they chatted. When the conversation was over, Dawn took off, and so did the iPhone. That necessitated a costly visit to the Apple Store, an unpleasant consequence of losing focus. I heard about a man who did the same thing with the infant car seat. He came out of the grocery store, put it on top of the car, loaded the trunk with all the groceries. He was a good citizen. He put the cart away, came back to the car, started the ignition, was about to take off when he got an earful from his angry wife because the baby was still in the car seat. An unpleasant consequence. When I lose focus delivering one of my homilies, I trip up over my words and forget what comes next. It's embarrassing. An unpleasant consequence. There are also some unpleasant consequences of not staying focused on God's abundance. When the Israelites were in the desert, God stayed close to them the whole time. As a column of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They also carried with them a portable temple called the Tent of Meeting. And whenever they set up camp, they also pitched that tent. And anytime Moses went inside, a cloud came down on the tent and surrounded the tent. It was a sign of God's presence. It was a sign that he was there for his people. Sometimes the people grumbled and complained. Sometimes they got off track with things. But God was always with them. At a place called Mount Sinai, he established a covenant with them, and he gave them the Ten Commandments. When they were hungry and thirsty, God made water flow from a rock and gave them manna to eat in the desert, bread from heaven, and also quail he would offer them. And they did grumble and complain sometimes. They occasionally made some mistakes, like worshiping a false idol. Remember the golden calf when Moses was at the top of the mountain? And from time to time, the people angered God by their lack of gratitude. But for those 40 years that they were together in the wilderness, God and his people pretty much walked hand in hand. They were his special possession. There was nothing to distract them, no other people to lead them astray, no false gods to entice them. But God knew when they came to the promised land, things would be different. There were people who already lived there. They had their own culture, traditions, gods, things that could turn the Israelites away from the Lord. They would get distracted, forget about all the miracles he had performed, the abundance he had provided for them, even in the desert. They would get distracted. To prevent that, God told Moses to stop the people at the edge of the promised land before they went in. He reminded them how important it was to stay focused on God's commandments. He warned them about the dangers of not staying focused. The statutes and decrees God had given them would be their saving grace in a foreign land. The Hebrew people would distinguish themselves from the other nations by following the wisdom of God's law. And Moses told them in no uncertain terms they had to follow all of those laws carefully. But God also said this to the people, as we heard in the first reading: "You shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it." God didn't want any additional requirements imposed on the people. It would be a burden. But he also didn't want his own requirements being overlooked. In 2004, a man named Justin Gatlin won the gold medal for the 100-meter dash at the Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece. He quickly rose to fame and was considered one of the fastest men in the world at that time. A few years later, though, during a routine drug screen, he tested positive for one of the substances that had been banned by the Olympic Committee. He was disqualified from competition for a period of 4 years. The scandal tarnished Gatlin's reputation, and many experts thought that would be the end of his career as an athlete. It's easy to lose focus and start subtracting from the rules. When we cut corners, bypassing the rule book, ignoring what we know is right, we always lose our way. Whether it's not giving your best at work or not spending enough time with your family, compromising your values, allowing other people to talk you into unhealthy choices, we can end up not being able to stay focused on God. And when we do that, we make it impossible to receive his abundance and his goodness. This is what happened to Samson in the Old Testament. You might remember that story. Before he was born, an angel came to Samson's mother and told her that one day Samson would deliver all the people from the power of their greatest enemy, the Philistines. But in return, Samson had to promise that he would never drink wine, never cut his hair, and never come into contact with anything that was considered unclean. This was called a Nazarite vow, and some people, like the Apostle Paul, took that vow for a limited period of time to dedicate themselves to God in a special way. But for some people, like Samson, it was a lifetime promise. Now, God had given Samson superhuman strength. He was able to kill a lion with his bare hands, defeat an entire army of Philistines with just the jawbone of a donkey. He had an abundance of power. But the problem was, Samson lost focus. He drank wine at his wedding banquet. He ate honey out of the carcass of that dead lion. That was considered unclean. But the final straw came when he told a woman named Delilah the secret to his great strength. She had been begging him to tell her because the Philistines secretly had offered a lot of money for that information. Samson loved Delilah, so he finally told her it was his hair that gave him his strength. The next time he was asleep, Delilah came in, cut his hair. Samson lost his incredible strength. The Philistines took him prisoner. Sometimes it's easy and tempting to overlook some of the rules. No one's going to notice. It's just a few little things. They're minor issues. But we'll never become the people God created us to be when we do that. When we take away from the best life that God wants for us, we cut off his abundance. We limit his provision in our lives. This is why Moses kept warning the Israelites never to subtract from God's commandments. If they wanted to enjoy the abundance of the land, they had to stay focused and follow his entire plan for their whole lives. And what's interesting is that Moses also warned the people about not adding anything to God's commandments. Several times a week, I go down to the local gym here and spend about 2 hours lifting weights. I know, it's obvious, right? But what you can't tell under these robes is that this is 175 pounds of pure steel. Anyway, I thought I was being virtuous doing so much work for so long, but then one day I saw this other man come in. He had muscles twice my size, and he spent half the amount of time working out. Of course, he was 20 years younger and not nearly as good looking, but still, I started wondering whether I was doing too much. And that's true in a lot of areas of life. We can do too much. You study too hard for an exam, and it can have the opposite effect sometimes. Or multitasking can lead to confusion and errors. Or too much furniture in a room can make it look cluttered. Sometimes less is more, and that's also true when it comes to God's abundance, receiving His abundance. A lot of people think the best way to please God is by always doing more, extra, above and beyond. But that's not always true. Of course, God wants us to serve others, help people, perform good works, but not when we do it for the wrong reason, just to get more blessings from God. In the gospel reading today, the disciples of Jesus were criticized by a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees and the scribes. They took issue with the fact that the disciples of Jesus did not follow the traditions of the elders that had been set out to interpret God's law. For example, the disciples of Jesus did not wash their hands before eating a meal and didn't wash the cups and vessels they used either. Now, this was not a matter of hygiene. We all know that we're supposed to wash our hands today because we know about germs. They didn't know about germs. But back then, washing your hands was this practice to make sure that you were ritually pure before God before you ate. The thing is, none of those requirements actually came from God. They were not in His law. The Pharisees and the other elders had invented those things, those added measures, as a way to try to please God. They thought that if everyone followed these extra man-made, made-up rules, that God would finally have mercy, send the Messiah, and He would come in and destroy the Roman Empire and liberate the people from their oppressors. But God was not happy with them going above and beyond in this way. It did not please Him because they were doing it for the wrong reason. Jesus said in the gospel, He called the Pharisees, "You hypocrites! You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." What He was saying is that nothing you do on the outside matters, no matter how many times you do it, no matter how many extra things you do. What matters is what's on the inside, your heart and your soul. It is tempting sometimes and comforting in a way to think and believe that we can somehow earn God's grace and favor and abundance, because then it puts it within our control. But these things are actually gifts from God that come when we stay focused on Him. Have you lost some of your focus lately? Maybe gotten a little off course? Forgotten to thank God for all His blessings? Not acted like the masterpiece God created you to be? The good news is you can always get your focus back. In the final moments of Samson's life, the Philistines brought him into their temple to make fun of him. They were going to mock him. They chained him to two massive pillars in the temple. What they didn't know is that Samson, while he was in prison, had been praying fervently to God, telling Him he was sorry for losing focus. Samson got his focus back, and God gave him his strength back. And so while the Philistines were mocking him and teasing him and making fun of him, in his final act, Samson used his strength to pull those massive pillars down, and the entire building crashed to the ground, destroying the Philistines inside. I know that's hard to hear sometimes today. We don't want anyone to die, but the Philistines were their greatest enemy, and that's how it was back then. Samson was able to achieve the destiny God had given him because he got his focus back. Justin Gatlin came back to the sport 4 years later. He got his focus back too. He worked hard, he stayed clean, and went on to win 2 more Olympic medals, including the 100-meter world record in 2017. Maybe you've mishandled some situations in the past. You took your eye off the ball, lost your focus, things went bad. I'm not sure, I don't know, but maybe you're someone you love. And it's easy to like blame yourself and think that it's all over, your best years are behind you, you blew it, there's no way you're going to come back from this, God doesn't like you anymore. Don't believe those thoughts. Get your focus back, and you will see God's abundance in your life again. About 10 years ago, I spent a week with the Benedictine monks at St. Andrew's Abbey in the Southern California Mojave Desert. These men had committed themselves to a life of a simple routine of work and prayer, otherwise known as ora et labora in Latin. Up before dawn, they gathered for morning prayers and silent meditation. Breakfast came next, followed by hours of manual labor, hard work, followed by more prayer, mass, lunch, more hard work, individual study, reading the Bible and reading the church teachings in the afternoons, late afternoons, and then evening prayer, dinner, night prayer, and then bed for a good night's rest. There was nothing to distract them. Every day was essentially the same. There was no scrolling through social media, no surfing the internet, no watching YouTube cat videos, nothing to take their focus off of God. And yet, studies have shown that Benedictine monks in particular score consistently higher on happiness and life satisfaction than most of us who live conventional lives or are able to wake up when we want, do what we want, eat and drink what we want, buy what we want, watch cat videos when we want. Kind of reminds me of that joke about the man who entered a monastery that had a simple rule that you could only speak 2 words for the entire year. Can you imagine that? 2 words for the entire year. And only when they came to the office of the abbot for their annual meeting. So this man spent the first year in the monastery and came to the meeting with the abbot after the first year, and the abbot asked him how things were going. He followed the rules and he said only 2 words, bed hard. He went away, spent the second year in the monastery, came back. The abbot had a big smile on his face, asked him how the year went. The man followed the rules. He said only 2 words, food cold. Third year came and went, came back to the abbot's office, asked him how it was going. 2 more words, I quit. To which the abbot responded, it's just as well. All you've done since you've gotten here is complained. That man lost his focus. A lot of people, when they look at the life of a monk, all they see is scarcity, deprivation, limitation, self-denial. But from what I could see, these men enjoyed great abundance because they were always focused on God. Scripture says that we should persevere in running the race that lies before us, always keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The only thing God truly wants from you, the only thing he truly desires, is your heart. Focus on him with your whole heart, and you will see his abundance, grace, favor, provision, new life, and the power to become all you were created to be.